The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice fills the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul. Yes, it does. Good morning, Jefferson. This is Wynn Carpenter on Jefferson State of Mind. I'm flying solo today. My partner in crime, Terry, is off on a vacation with his beautiful wife, visiting family. So we will do our best to get some information out to you. If you want to call in at any time, the number is 605-4567. Again, 605-4567. And I'm going to be having a guest here in just a moment. Mark is on the line. Okay, Mark Baird and I are going to talk about the Second Amendment today, about the specific case he has before the court, and we're going to be talking about what's going on with that, and hopefully we'll get some information out there that everybody can understand and support. And when I say support too, I mean talking about, yes, getting behind the man who brought the case forward, but also helping maybe throw a few pennies in the till a little bit to help further the cause, because it is not free. Mark, are you there?
Yes, I am, Wynn. Good morning.
Good morning, Mark. Thanks for being on the show. I appreciate it.
Oh, that's okay. Thanks for having me.
How about this? Why don't we just jump right into it? Tell us what's going on, what the case is, and who the case is between, and all that good stuff. Just start from the beginning so we can get everybody up to speed as to what's going on.
Okay. The case is titled Baird versus Bonta, who is the California State's Attorney General, of course. And it is a case designed to strike the penal codes restricting the open carry of loaded or unloaded weapons in California, because those penal codes are unconstitutional, of course. So that's the basics of the case. And where we stand now, we were lucky enough to draw Judge Mueller again. That judge is like a bad penny, and she keeps coming around. For all of our cases, she was the judge in the Jefferson case. And, you know, here's kind of the bottom line with Judge Mueller. Her job in her mind, she's a Democratic operative. There's no hiding that. There's no concealing it. It's true. And her job is to make sure that the state of California can take your liberty from you anytime they want, in any way they want to. And she does that in two ways. Essentially, she does it by denying standing to litigants, telling the people of California they have no right to bring complaints against the state of California. And she does it also by delaying a case or outspending the plaintiff until you run out of money and the state wins, or you die and the state wins. So her job is to never hear a case, to delay, and our job is to try to prevent that.
Okay, so what's the best outcome for her? Just to keep on doing what she's doing and delaying it and denying it? Is that that her job wholeheartedly, and that's what she's going to keep doing? And is that legal?
Well, I mean, the legality of it is this. The Constitution has been, I don't know how else to say this, has been changed without the benefit of the amendment process to reflect this, and that is that Article 3 courts, judges serve during terms of, quote, good behavior, and courts themselves have defined that term, good behavior, as for the rest of your life. Now, good behavior and for the rest of your life are two very distinctly different things, in my opinion, but not in the court's opinion. So once you get a federal judge, you're stuck with them until they retire or die. And even when they retire, they have the ability to come back as what they call senior judges. And that's a judge that serves at the pleasure of the Chief Justice, and by the way, that's Judge Mueller now. She survived long enough in the federal court that she's now the Chief Justice of the Eastern District. And so what they do is the Chief Justice will allow a retired judge to serve, provided he likes the he or she likes the outcome of their trial. So if you're a retired justice in Mueller's court, you can stay as long as you do the right thing for the Democratic Party.
Wow.
And Judge Mueller is a Democratic operative. She was a Sacramento City Councilman, a Democrat. She gave up her seat so Daryl Steinberg could get the mayor's job, and he did. And the bone that Obama threw her was a federal judgeship.
Yeah, he appointed her to that position, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Wow. Well, I don't understand how we can do anything about it. Is there anything we can do about it, the sovereign citizens of the rest of the state?
Well, the Supreme Court has given us the ability to do something about this. And in the case New York Rifle and Pistol Association v. Bruin, they very plainly in plain English, defined how Second Amendment cases are to be treated, and they specifically targeted the Ninth Circuit in that opinion. Because the Ninth Circuit, in 50 out of the last 50 Second Amendment cases, the Second Amendment has lost. And judges in the Ninth Circuit have plainly declared that it is in the interest of the state of California to deny you your rights. And that interest balancing, in other words, interest balancing very specifically is this. Is it more important for you to enjoy an enumerated right, a pre-constitutional, pre-governmental right given you by your creator, or is it more important for the state to exercise its interest in that area? And in this case, all they have to do is throw down the safety card where they say, oh, we have to keep you safe. If it's more important for the state to keep you safe than it is for you to have an enumerated right, then the state wins, in the federal judiciary's opinion.
So they're picking safety over your rights.
Well, they always do. And the problem with this is they can always play the safety card. You know, is it important for you to have a car that runs on gasoline? No, it's more important for us to keep the environment safe. There you go. You lose your right. You know, you lose the ability to control what property you own. Is it more important for you to make a living than it is for the state to concoct some fake diesel regulations and ruin the trucking industry? Oh, well, you know, it's more important for the state to keep the environment safe than it is for you to have the things you need to make a living.
Okay, so that's about
to... And on it goes, on and on and on and on it goes, and the people of California continue to vote for this BS.
Yeah. Or so the results would indicate, but we really don't know because we're not standing there looking over the shoulder of each ROV within every county.
Well, all we know is how it turns out.
All we know is the results.
How it turns out every time in California for whatever that reason is.
Right, right. Okay, well, so then, with your court case, mm-hmm. can you explain to us? Okay, you already told us who it is, you know, Baird versus Bonta, and then the loaded versus unloaded weapons. So then where do we go from there? So what's the remainder or the rest of the court case that people need to be aware of so they understand what the process is, what you've had to do to get through to just to get to this point?
Well, what we've done so far is we've had to file complaints, and then we had to defend those complaints, and then we had to wait for the judge to rule on what are known as the demurs. In other words, the state has multiple chances to say why you don't even deserve to be in court at all. And we had to wade through that. And then we had filed a preliminary injunction, which, of course, the judge refused because it's not important for you to defend your life. It's more important for the state to take your gun away from you. But the judge in that ruling admitted that we were very likely to succeed on the merits of the Second Amendment argument that we made. And so now, then our case was put on hold pending the outcome of Bruin versus New York State Rifle and Pistol Association. And Bruin, by the way, is the New York State's Attorney General. Now, when that case came out, it was a real win for the Constitution because Judge Thomas ruled in no uncertain terms that conduct that is comports with the plain text of an amendment is presumptively constitutional. He also ruled that the Second Amendment applies to bearing arms, which means to wear or carry on your person, in your pocket, or in your clothing any instrument capable of offensive or defensive use in the event of conflict with another person. And Judge Thomas ruled unequivocally that the Heller case does mean what it says it meant, that the Second Amendment applies to the individual. It is not connected with militia service specifically, and it applies outside the home to any weapon that is presumptively constitutional, and those are all weapons that are commonly owned by lawful individuals for legal purposes. And so that applies to handguns, it applies to rifles, it applies to shotguns, it applies to stun guns and gas cartridges and anything else you might carry for self-defense. He also ruled that states like California and circuit courts like the Second Circuit in New York and the Ninth Circuit in California and the nine western states must decide cases based upon Supreme Court precedent in Heller and Bruin. And those precedents are very clear. It specifically denies them the use of the two-step interest balancing, because here's what the two-step says. Number one, the first question is, does the behavior of the state or does the regulation in question impact the right? That's question one in a two-step. And the question two is, does it impact the right over and above the state's need to keep you safe or to do whatever it is they profess to do? And so in the two-step, you would ask the question, does the ban on the open carry of a loaded weapon impact the Second Amendment? The answer is obviously yes, because the right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And so then they go on to ask, well, is it more important, and historically, can the state defend its position to take away your rights because it wants to? So Justice Thomas said, that's one question too many, because the Second Amendment itself is the interest balancing of the people against the ability of the government to deny you a right. That is what the Second Amendment is. It is the result of the interest balancing to prevent the government from overreaching on its authority and its power. And that's why the Second Amendment was created. So there is no more interest balancing here. That's already been done. That was done in 1791. And so the only question that is important to the discussion is, does the regulation in question impact the Second Amendment? And if that is so, then that is the only question that needs to be answered, and the regulation is unconstitutional. And the way to determine that is with the text of the amendment as informed by the history and tradition of the United States Constitution at the time of the founding. So if the state could say that it is instituting regulations to ban the open carry of a loaded weapon, they must prove that in 1791 there were widespread bans on the open carry of loaded weapons. And of course that can't be proven, because there were none. We had just finished a revolution with the country of our native origin, England, in order to stop the king from usurping our rights. Everybody had guns. Everybody carried guns. Everybody was using them against purportedly their own government. There are no regulations that prevent the open carry of a loaded weapon, and the state can't prove it. And in California, there were no such regulations. You could openly carry a loaded weapon anywhere you wanted to go in the state of California during Spanish rule, during Mexican rule, and during United States rule, all the way up until 1968, when the state of California disarmed a black people by taking everyone's guns away with the Mulford Act, designed to hamper the activities of the Black Panther Party. But they realized even at the time, well, you can't say you and you can't carry, but the rest of you can. So what they decided to do, with the help of the NRA and that champion of liberty, Ronald Reagan, they took everybody's guns away. They said it under Penal Code 25850 and the Mulford Act, it is a felony to openly carry a loaded weapon on the streets and in the cities of California. And in their filing, in their opening filing in the case, the state of California admitted this egregious offense toward the Constitution. They said, and this is a quote, this is the first line in their filing, the state of California has given all authority over who may carry a weapon in the cities and streets of California to sheriffs and police chiefs. Well, it does not say in the Constitution that you have to ask anyone's permission to carry a weapon openly in California. It says the right of the people to keep, that means own, defined by Heller and Bruin, and bear, that means carry, outside the home, by the way. Bear means carry outside the home. Because Thomas in Heller said, it is unimaginable that the founders meant to assign the definition bear to wearing your pistol in your pajama pocket between the bedroom and the bathroom. That's unimaginable. The word bear means to carry outside the home a weapon designed to prevent conflict with another person or to defend you in the event of conflict with another person. So the state's attorney general thinks that bear means, oh, you can, in fact, the state's expert witness in this case said bear means, or the Second Amendment means, you can get a gun and you might be able to keep it at home. That's what he said in his expert witness testimony. He's obviously never read the Constitution. He couldn't even recite the Second Amendment because he thought it said, oh, you can get a gun and you might be able to keep it at home.
That's what he said in reciting the Second Amendment?
Yes.
Wow, and he's the expert witness.
And their expert witness also said this. He's a 39-year law enforcement official who had all authority in his jurisdiction to issue carry permits, concealed or openly, under 26150 or 26155 A and B, sections A and section B. And he never issued one single permit to an ordinary civilian. He only issued them to reserve deputies and to licensed holders, in other words, armed guards and detectives.
Licensed law enforcement. Detectives. And, all law enforcement, then.
And he issued very few of those. Now, the reason he gave for that is, first of all, he admitted under cross-examination, under oath, that the Second Amendment applies to the individual. He admitted that. He admitted that the Second Amendment applies to the individual outside the home, no matter where they may be. He admitted that the Second Amendment, in the hands of an ordinary civilian, a weapon could prevent loss of life in the event of a violent conflict with a criminal or with some other actor. He admitted that, but he said he would never, ever, quote, allow an ordinary citizen to carry a weapon in his jurisdiction because it's bad public policy. So he is more willing for you to lose your life in an armed conflict with a violent criminal than to allow you to protect your own life or your family's life or the people around you's lives because he does not want to have bad public policy. Now, let's go on to where this naturally would lead. What is public policy? It is not defined by legislation. It is not defined by penal code, public policy. There is no such term. A penal code 10,000 public policy means or gives government the ability to or gives government the authority to or gives government agents the authority or the ability to do certain things. There is no definition of public policy in government code and health and safety code in the California Constitution or anywhere else for that matter. Here's what public policy means. It means whatever they say it does when they say it. And it can change at any given moment. And it has changed. I mean, public policy, it was okay to drive a diesel truck without DEF and without the liars and CARB and all the other stuff. It was public policy for a voter ID many years ago in California. It was public policy that marriage was between a man and a woman, and all that's changed without the benefit of any law. So public policy can change anytime they say it does to anything they say it changes to.
Wow. Okay.
And public policy says you may not protect yourself in California with an openly carried weapon because we don't want you to.
So with your case, then where's the standing on that? Where do you stand currently with that? And I know you've been in court a couple times with this, but where are you currently and where is it going?
Okay, we've been in court literally for years on this thing, years.
Yeah.
And we have never had a hearing on the merits of the case yet.
Really?
Not one. We have filings, we have status conferences, we have a preliminary injunction hearings, we have, you know, all this stuff. And we have another one of those on October, I think it's 23rd or 28th, I forget, I'll get that date to you though, to have another hearing on the filings. And what we had a status conference on Zoom, and the status conference is the judge and the attorneys talk about where we are right now. And the judge, by the way, during that status conference was the best attorney the state ever had. I mean, the state's attorney never had to open his mouth. We told the judge, Your Honor, in light of Bruin, you need to approve this preliminary injunction and strike 25850 and 26350 right now because of the state's activities and its penal code are unconstitutional, clearly under Bruin. They don't comport with the plain text of the amendment. There are no historical restrictions on the open carry of a loaded weapon in California. You need to grant the preliminary injunction right now while we proceed. And the judge says, well, you know, in light of Bruin, doesn't the state need more time to develop historical evidence? And doesn't the state need more time for discovery? And won't the state need more expert witnesses? Won't you, Mr. I forget the state's attorney's name. Won't you need that? Oh, yeah, we will. Okay, well, at least we've kicked this down the road a few months. That was her statement. She has no interest in seeing justice done.
So is
none. In fact, she has an interest in dragging this out until I die. That's her interest.
So then how does a group of individuals or an individual or an organization or anybody help to force this forward? How does that work? Is there a way to do that? Clearly, she's obviously dragging her feet.
We're trying to do it now by refiling the preliminary injunction with the new guidance that Bruin is giving the Ninth Circuit Court and California's federal circuit courts. And Bruin is issuing instructions to those courts that conduct which complies with the plain text of the amendment is presumptively constitutional unless you can prove historical regulations dating back to the founding era, which they cannot. Oh, and in addition to that, Bruin and Heller did the discovery for them on the history. They did a deep dive into the history of the Second Amendment and into the case law that the progressives used to deny you the right to self-defense. They have ruled that the Treaty of Northumberland is not something that the Founding Fathers would have used to restrict rights in America. And so that's out, the riding around with your armor on in order to frighten people. And the state used that one consistently. They used the Sir John Knight case. That's out. The Founding Fathers knew exactly what they were saying when they wrote the Second Amendment. They knew exactly what they intended. They intended for all citizens of the United States to be able to openly carry a loaded weapon for defense of themselves, their family, their community, their state, and their nation. Period. That's what they intended. That's what the regulation deals with. There are no historic prohibitions to that. And the Supreme Court did all that discovery in the case itself. So we're trying to get the judge to approve the preliminary injunction based on Bruin. She won't do it because she is a Democratic operative. And in light of that, the minute she denies the PI again, then we'll appeal the PI to the Ninth Circuit. They have explicit instructions not to use interest balancing. They must use the Bruin and Heller guidance and McDonald guidance to determine the outcome of Second Amendment cases. They are ordered by the Supreme Court, the only Article III court in the United States Constitution, because appellate courts and federal circuit courts are, quote, inferior courts under Article III of the United States Constitution, as appointed by Congress from time to time.
Wow.
We're looking for an appellate decision in that PI because Mueller will never allow it. She's a Democratic, chief judge in California. She works for the Democratic Party, period. That's a known. We know she's never going to hear this case, so what we're trying to do desperately is get it away from her and get it in front of a different set of judges. Now, if the Ninth Circuit denies the preliminary injunction, and quite frankly, they're going to have a hard time doing that. If they deny it, then we will appeal the preliminary injunction to the United States Supreme Court.
Okay. Hey, Mark, we need to go after a break. We'll come back and cover the rest of that. And, Steve, hold on the line. We'll be back in just a moment, and we'll take your call. All right. The time has come for 51.
Allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
That's where we are in California. The whole state is a danger zone with everything going on in this hot mess. All right. Hey, Steve, are you there this morning? Steve, good morning. What's your question?
My comment is that bless Mark's heart for all his integrity and patience and endurance in fighting this for the last 10 years. The state of Jefferson and everything, they just keep throwing it down the road. All the courts just throw it all down the road. Richard Marshall up here in 60 counties been fighting for the dams for 10 years, throwing all this paperwork at them. They keep throwing it down the road. You know, the people voted back in 12 years ago now, that 80% of the people in 60 counties said save the dams, and they're just still threatening to take these dams out. So my comment is that the people have to get off their backsides and get up and fight. Every single day is a fight for freedom. It's in the Constitution. It's been stated by our forefathers. Every single day is a fight for freedom. Get off your butt. And that's what we have to do. Otherwise, we're going to lose our country.
Amen,
really
brother.
I appreciate your show, Wynn. Mark, you know I love you. Take care.
All right. Thank you, Steve. Appreciate the call. And you're absolutely right. People need to stand up and fight, because if you don't do it now, you're not going to be able to do it later at all, period. All right, Mark. I don't know if you were able to hear what Steve's comment was, but he's appreciating everything you're doing and what's going on and keeping up the fight and just challenging everybody to get out there and fight. So that's
well,
the goal.
Well, Steve's a fighter in his own right. He's out there every day talking to people and stirring this up. And, you know, we need tens of thousands of people like that. We need
right.
to start standing for something, because, look, if, you know, there's one country song I always fall back on. If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. And the people of the state of California, I find this tremendously incongruous that in France they raise the gas prices like 10 euro cents a gallon or whatever, a liter, whatever it was, and a million people hit the streets. They called them the yellow vests, and they stopped that. I mean, they said, no, you're not going to make our lives so expensive that we can't live them anymore. You're not going to do it, or we'll remove you forcibly from the chair that we, the people, put you in. And guess what? They repealed that tax increase. Now, they probably have come back and put it back again or snuck it in some other way, but the people acted. In California, we're paying $1 or $2 a gallon more than some other states are. And people just go, well, gosh, gee, I don't know what to do. I mean, they ruined the trucking industry, and people just went, oh, well, I guess we better all buy brand-new trucks. And they ruined the logging industry. Nobody said a word. They're taking away farming and mining. They're taking away our water. They're taking away our dams. They took away our gun rights. And people are just kind of, it's the government. I don't know. And so, to me, you know, we could fight over all of this. We can. I mean, we have the means. We have the people, probably, if people would stand up. I don't know if they would or not. But I think that court's the only way, because we don't have enough societal backbone in California to vote these bums out for some reason.
Exactly. Hey, Mark, we got another caller on the line. Hold on for just a second.
Okay.
Hey, Mary, are you there? Good morning, Mary.
Good morning. I just wanted to let you know, Wynn, that I will get you another donation for the 2A that goes to Mark. I really appreciate all the effort Mark's doing to, you know, to keep us alive here.
Well, amen. We appreciate that. Thank you very much, Mary.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Mary.
Bye.
Mark says thank you, too. God bless her. She's a sweetheart, and she's very supportive. So, yeah. And if people want to donate to the A Second Amendment case, which Mark is fighting solely, he's named in it, and he's against the state, and like everybody else, you know, he's a working man. He doesn't have the money to be fighting all this all on his own financially, and he's got the time. He's making the time because it's time consuming. But why not chip in and help out where we can? You know, if you can't contribute in any other way, you know, send a dollar or two to Mark. That would be great. And you can send, you can make a check out to Pecan, P-E-C-A-N. Again, P-E-C-A-N. And in the memo portion of your check, write 2A. That way it goes directly to that account. And you can mail it to 14421 Old Oregon Trail. Again, 14421 Old Oregon Trail, Suite B, like boy, Suite B. And that's Reading 96003. So I just wanted to get that out there for you, Mark, so that people, if they feel so compelled to do it, that would be great.
Hey, thanks, Wynn. I appreciate your institutional memory, because I don't know, after all of these years, I still have to look that up on my phone, and it takes me a minute. So thanks for having that memorized. I appreciate that very much.
I can remember very little, and that's one of the few things I can remember. So there you go.
Yeah, it's really important. I mean, we have to keep this going. And here's the thing, folks. This one we can win. I'm convinced of that. Yeah, I'm disappointed in the court. Yes, I'm disappointed that we have allowed progressive socialists to take over our nation. Yeah, I'm disappointed in all the things everybody else is, too. We can win this one, though, because the Supreme Court has stepped in. They have issued very specific directives, and they have also warned the inferior courts that if they don't follow the directive, the Supreme Court will act again and force them to follow.
So what's the timeline? What's the timeline on that, though? If she doesn't,
well,
if Mueller doesn't act on it in a certain amount of time, does her hand get slapped and they take action?
No, of course not. I mean, you have that good behavior thing. So the Supreme Court's hands are not only tied by that, but they also are served by that as well, because they too serve for terms of life called good behavior. And I have my own thoughts about that, but that is what it is. What they are saying, though, is if these judges don't rule correctly, when they finally do rule, and you can't put these things off forever, at some point they have to say something. And it could be years. You know, I hope it's not going to be years in this case, but the last preliminary injunction, she waited a year.
Wow.
And then her ruling was to hold the case for Bruin. And a lot of the cases, see, California has a house of cards going here. And the House of Cards is 50 out of the last 50 Second Amendment cases have gone against the Constitution because they used the two-step tripartite interest balancing test in order to take your Second Amendment liberty away from you. That's why these cases have failed, because they specifically have used a test that the Supreme Court has said no good, can't do it. And they were very pointed. They named California and the Ninth Circuit specifically in the Bruin opinion to stop this two-step interest balance with regard to enumerated rights. And Thomas also said that the Second Amendment is not a second-class right, and Alito said that states may not enforce regulations that ban the carry of weapons. Alito said that on page 70. He said that specifically. So we have the jurisprudence to back us up. All we need to do is prevail in the timeline and prevail to a judge, or get this case back to the Supreme Court and have them directly point at this court and say you can't do it. The only way to do that, folks, because what you've seen with SB 918 and all of these concealed carry regulations is when the state has jurisdiction over your rights, they're going to deny them. SB 918 was a horrible bill. It only failed by one vote. It will be back. I promise you that. SB 918 will come back again. And that defines basically all of outdoors as a sensitive place, doubles the training requirement, makes it more expensive. You can't use show just cause, but now there's going to be a moral turpitude test that you have to pass and psychological screening. And believe me, you're not going to want the permit by the time you get it.
Wow.
Well, an enumerated right doesn't require permission. Therefore, since the Ninth Circuit in Peruta v. San Diego, and that case still stands, by the way, that case was not remanded. Peruta v. San Diego says concealed carry is not a right. It is a permission, and states can regulate it. In the states in the Ninth Circuit can regulate it or do whatever they want with it because it is not a right. We have a right. We know that. The Constitution tells us in the Second Amendment that we have the right to keep and bear arms, and that right shall not be infringed. Well, if concealed carry isn't the right, according to the Ninth Circuit, in an unchallenged case that the Supreme Court refused to pick up, it was never remanded, so it is law. If we have a right and it's not concealed carry, it must be open carry. And to exercise an enumerated right, no permission is required. That's why we're not going after concealed carry. The argument that, oh, concealed carry is tactically superior and all that stuff, yeah, you know, maybe all that's true. I don't care, because that's not my right. Open carry is. And if open carry is the way I must exercise my right, then that's the way I will exercise it. And I'll do the best I can with that, but I will exercise that right.
So the state has truly painted themselves into a corner.
That's what we think. And in a lot of these Second Amendment cases, the state has painted itself into the same corner. The Miller ban, assault weapons ban, that's back in front of Judge Benitez. The state asked for a lot more time to develop experts and all the stuff that Judge Mueller is going to allow in my case, or she might try to allow. And Judge Benitez says no. You don't need more time. Bruin has outlined all the history. Heller has defined all the terms. You don't need more time. We're going to put this on the fast track. And I guarantee you the assault weapon ban will fall in California. The Duncan case, 30-round magazine ban, that's been remanded back to Judge Benitez. That will fall. The pistol roster case, I forget the name of that case, that's been remanded. And I think that's a New Jersey court, I believe. That's going to fall. California has built their entire denial of rights on the house of cards called interest balancing. The Supreme Court has outlawed that practice. The house of cards will fall. We just need to be able to persevere. That's all. If we can persevere, keep the case moving. And by the way, if people ask me, have you appealed to the gun organizations? Yes, I have. No, they won't help us. The big gun organizations don't care about this case. They don't care about open carry. They're desperately trying to make concealed carry with government permission the right that's protected by the Second Amendment. They haven't really given up on that. Gun Owners of America is a pretty good organization, but they don't have a lot of money. So we are on our own. The people of the state of Jefferson can restore liberty to all of the people in California, and that's just the opening shot. Because if we can restore liberty in the Second Amendment, we can restore all of our liberty, because they hate the Second Amendment worse than they hate any of them.
Yeah, and I don't quite get that, because you have all these other states that allow it. Why it's so strongly or vehemently exercised by the other side, if you will, the state of California, for the lack of a better term, but the players that are in power, to keep doing what they're doing when they know it's a loser. Or do they know it's a loser? It's not losing now, so it's not losing, right? But until that point comes, well, where they're forced to adjudicate the proper way, whenever that will be.
It isn't a loser to them until somebody makes them.
Right, exactly.
Now we could make them at the ballot box. We could make them in the very next election. If conservatives, gun owners, and conservative Christians would just bother to do one thing. Get off your butt and vote.
Yeah.
We could take this state back in the very next election. Democrats are not the majority here. Conservatives and independents are the majority. But by and large, conservatives don't vote. In the last election in Siskiyou County, they said something like 34% of registered voters bothered to vote. 34% in a pretty important election, I think.
Why are they so lazy? I don't get that. Why do people just leave it up to somebody else to do? I don't get it.
There are a lot of reasons for it. I think the biggest reason is probably apathy. They think that, we're screwed anyway, and we can't win, and all this horrible stuff's going to happen no matter what we do, so why bother?
Well, not without your vote, we can't win. Good grief, people.
Well, I'm sure that's how a lot of the Jews felt in 1936. They thought, the government's coming, I don't know what we can do. And by the way, they were disarmed before they were rounded up, and 7 million of them were executed in the death camps.
Right.
They had no weapons to defend themselves except butter knives and steak knives.
Yeah.
And a lot of people thought, we'll just go along. Certainly they can't do too much to us, or certainly they'll see the logic in letting us go at some point, and they never did. And look, I'm not blaming those people for their own demise. But what I'm saying is that the common logic amongst all good citizens is, the government doesn't mean us any harm, and this is probably going to be okay. All we got to do is kind of wait this out. But that's not the case here, and it's not the case a lot of times in California.
Right. Oh, my gosh. Well,
in California, what they're doing is they're spending your tax dollars to make sure illegal aliens have a good life.
Exactly. And then we end up trying to fight it with our own money as well, so we're paying for it both coming and going. And that's the problem. It comes back to the controlling of the ROV offices, making sure that their voter rolls are cleaned up and that we're there watching what's going on when they are voting and tabulating the votes. We have to do that. And getting rid of these damn Dominion machines and doing it by paper ballot. For God's sake, go back to that.
But let me ask you, Wynn, what is required in order for those things to occur? And the answer is simple. people have to get off their butt and help.
Yes. Yeah.
They have to volunteer. You don't get paid to volunteer.
No.
I volunteer with the sheriff's department now because I'm not a deputy anymore. I was doing evacuations on the two fires up here for nothing.
Yeah.
My own car, my own gas, my own risk, no insurance, no coverage, no nothing. And there were good men and women around me volunteering their time to help the people, help people that were in trouble here.
Yeah.
Why have we stopped doing that as Americans? Why have we stopped?
I don't understand. Is it a me first mentality? You know, where people are, what's in it for me? I don't know. I don't get it. I don't understand. I mean, to serve is the best thing you can do, and it doesn't matter what you serve, but it's the best thing you can do to help your neighbors. And by helping your neighbors is doing exactly what you said that you did, you know, going out and doing the fire evacuations and all that stuff, which is critical. That's a life and death right there. But then also, too, following what's going on locally in your politics. You have to do that, because if you're not doing it, who's going to do it? And sometimes some of these positions that are being handled by some of the volunteers, if it wasn't for each and every one of them, nobody would know what's going on. You know, that's the thing. People are learning. And it's not something you just jump in and you know what you're doing 100%. You have to learn. You have to hit the – you stumble, you trip, you fall, you make mistakes, but you learn from those and you get better at it. And that's the biggest thing. I mean, a lot of us have been doing a lot of these things for a long time, but every time something new comes up, okay, what do I need to learn? What do I need to do? And I know I'm going to make a mistake. Hopefully it's not a bad one. You know, you just kind of keep on going. But good grief, why aren't people out there fighting? I just don't get it.
Well, I've heard a lot of excuses. Well, I can't, you know, I got to work, or I can't, I have kids, or I can't, I've got a this, or I've got a that. There's always an excuse. I mean, look, I've got a million of them. You know, I can't do any of this stuff because I got to work, because I have a ranch to run, because I have a family to take care of. There are a million excuses, but like my mother used to say, you always have time for the things you really want to do. If it's important to you to live in a nation of laws where the rules are the same tomorrow as they were yesterday, and where property is important, and where there are certain things that are not within the authority of government to change, in other words, if the people have rights, then they must be respected by governments, because governments don't have rights. Governments are constructs of the document that formed them. They are entities, not human. And governments possess no right that the document that formed them does not give them. And when you read the California Constitution and the United States Constitution, the word right is not in there with the reference to government. The word right is only in both of those documents referring to the power of the people.
Yes.
Governments do not have rights. Only people do. So governments who are willing to assume rights or to take rights, the governor of New York said her right as a governor supersedes the right of the people under the Constitution.
Wrong.
Really?
Wrong.
Wow. Well, I'd like to see where that's written. I'd like to read that clause, because I'm not aware of any state constitution that gives the governor rights that supersede the rights of the people. But yet this governor has a do as I say, not as I do mentality. He does things that people aren't allowed to do. His security detail possesses weapons that you're not allowed to possess. In fact, all of the ruling elites in Sacramento and Hollywood and in the big tech companies in Silicon Valley, because those are the people that own you,
mm-hmm.
you don't own yourself anymore. They own you, because they tell you every step you make, every breath you take, everything you can do, everything you can't do, and they will punish you, like Joe Biden said in his big speech. If you are a conservative, or if you value constitutional guarantees on unalienable God-given rights, then you're a violent extremist and you need to be dealt with.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Holy cow.
And that is not the Constitution that I've read 10 million times, and it's not the Constitution of California, which I've read several times. The government has no rights.
The government absolutely does not have any rights. You are correct on that. And it just takes a reading, just a basic reading of the Constitution to see that, of the federal
and
the state Constitution. It restricts and binds the government is what it does.
And Judge Thomas put that very well. He said, look, if it's up to future loads of jurists, judges, to determine what the enumerated rights of the people are, then they're not really rights, are they?
Right, exactly.
The rights of the people are above government. They are above judges. They are above courts. The plain text of the meaning says, Congress shall make no law. The right of the people shall not be infringed. Those are the policies set by the founders of this nation and the people who created the government. And look, why do we have a Constitution of California? I mean, what was the reason to form that document? And it's available to everybody. It's the preamble. We, the people of the state of California, grateful to Almighty God for our freedom, that to secure and perpetuate its blessings, we establish this Constitution. So the people who founded the state of California instituted the government that we have in order to protect the freedom given them by God.
Yes.
How does that work when the government looks at you and says, give me a dollar because I'm going to give 90 cents of it to someone who broke the law to come here? How does that work when the government says, you may or you will not defend yourselves and your family? How does that work when the government says, you will not engage in this occupation or in that occupation? How does it work when the government gives people who broke the law to come here more liberty than the people who formed this government to begin with? How does that work when the governor doesn't follow the laws that bind the rest of us? How does it work when the legislature does not follow the laws that bind the rest of us? How does all that work?
It does. It works really well, and we end up having California.
It worked really well in Cuba, too, for
yes.
the people who ruled Cuba.
Yep,
it worked good in China for Mao and his bunch and Xi Jinping and his pals. It works good for Maduro in Venezuela, but it doesn't work so good for the people. And we are the people that form the government to guarantee us the liberties given us by our God. What is your allegiance to the Lord God that made you when you don't insist upon enjoying the gifts that he gave you when he created you? How does that work?
Exactly. Exactly. Oh, my God.
How does it work when you pay taxes to a state that indoctrinates your children in sexual practices that are foreign and deviant behaviors? How does it work when you pay those taxes? Are you really fulfilling your obligation to the God that created you and to the Constitution that binds that government when you give them money that they use in unlawful and illegal manners for purposes that are destructive to the life that you live?
No. Well, and especially when you're funding it through tax dollars, say, like you gave an example, schools. Good grief, we're paying them to do what they're doing to our children? Are you kidding? Absolutely
we're
not. I think every taxpayer should hold off on all their taxes until everything gets turned around. That would be the quickest way to get things fixed immediately in every school district. I think that would be the quickest way to do it.
Yeah, I agree with you. The only problem with that kind of thing is that what the government does is single you out, and they pick you off one by one because
yep.
they can. They
yep.
have all of your information, but you have none of their information.
Yeah.
To illustrate that fact, State Attorney General Rob Bonta accidentally, mind you, put every gun owner's personal information in California on the Internet for the whole wide world and every crook and crackhead and burglar to see.
Yes.
They know what guns you own. They know where you live. They know how old you are. They know everything about you. And that accidentally got on the Internet for about 20 million gun owners in California.
And why isn't that a jailable offense? Why isn't that more on the headlines? Why aren't people shouting that from the rooftops, informing everyone of that? I know when it came out, it was out there a bit, but it wasn't out there as much as everybody thought it should be. I mean,
I can tell you why. Because the political elites that own this state and own the media and own all of the tech companies didn't want it to be out.
Absolutely. That's why. Yep. Yes. Hey, Mark, well, we have a minute left. If there's anything else you want to talk to the listeners to about the Second Amendment, do it really quickly and let them know what's going on.
Well, please help me if you can. I understand that things are tight, but if you can help me, please do. Going to court is very, very expensive, and I'm talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars, so please help if you can. And I'll just leave you with what John Adams said, liberty must at all hazards be protected. You have a right to it derived from your maker. And even if that were not true, it was purchased and bought for you by your fathers with their ease, their estates, their blood, and their treasure. Is liberty going to